You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin. For all of Wisconsin. Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Welcome to the second hour of the special edition of the Civic Media Spotlight. In this hour of the Civic Media Spotlight, we have the best four segments from Daybreak with Brian and Jamie. In this segment, Brian and Jamie talk about for years people have been hoping to get rid of the Electoral College. Well, now there's a little bit of momentum from states that are trying to do just that. Brian and Jamie discuss the Electoral College and what a change would mean.
Want to join in on the conversation? Call or text 855-75-CIVIC. Now back to Brian and Jamie.
6:35 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Hopefully you are dry. Hopefully the storms have been kind to your area. But if you're in Madison listening on WMDX, Appleton or Oshkosh listening on WISS, Wausau on WXEO, or in Eau Claire on 93.5 The Tap, we are glad that you decided to join us this morning. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. And just stay, as Jamie likes to say, weather aware today. We're not out of the woods yet. More storms coming in this afternoon into this evening. Possibility of them being severe again. So just keep an eye to the sky and keep listening to the radio and we'll tell you what's happening. Should we finally go to the popular vote as the final word for electing a president? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We could be one step closer. Mm-hmm. This is of getting rid of this pesky Electoral College. A national majority vote for president is one step closer because Virginia's governor, Abigail Spanberger, signed a national popular vote bill into law. She joined an interstate compact with 17 other states in the District of Columbia. And you may be saying, why are you telling us this? Because Wisconsin is one of those states in the 17-state compact. So under this compact, states would assign their presidential electors to the winner of the popular vote, regardless of the results within the state. It don't matter. You win the vote, you get it. It takes effect when states representing a majority of electoral vote pass the legislation and thus would determine the winner of the presidential contest. Right now, we've got 200. They have 270 of the 538 votes.
They need 270 of the
five. They need 270
yeah,
of the five.
Two,
okay.
And they have 200.
Oh, two, they have 222.
Yep,
right.
Yep.
Got it.
So they're a little short. They're a little short. But I
so
think
far,
this is
one more state.
This is promising. It's promising. And every state that has so far enacted the compact has Democratic electoral majorities. And so, of course, you're talking about states like California, New York, and Illinois. But as you mentioned, Wisconsin, also part of that, including there's other swing states involved already as well, including Arizona, Michigan, Nevada, New Hampshire, and Pennsylvania, too. I find this, here's the thing. The Electoral College was created in 1787, right? This was a compromise because the forefathers were essentially trying to figure out who should pick the president, who should pick Congress, who should pick the people. They weren't really fully trusting either option, so they landed somewhere in the middle, which was the Electoral College, right? Because they allowed the states to choose the electors, and those electors then picked the president. And they had their reasons behind it. One of them is because they wanted to protect the smaller populated states, because if everything was based purely on population, then those larger states were going to dominate elections. It also forced candidates to build support across different regions, not just the big cities. And it was also, this is also the part that people don't really want to talk about, but it's part of our history. The Electoral College was also tied to how political power was structured at the time, including the compromises around slavery. So we don't like to talk about those things. Hello.
That never happened, right?
Right. But 1787 was a long time ago. And things have evolved.
Parker, that's even older than me.
No. Mm-hmm. Whoa. I thought you signed the Declaration of Independence.
I did.
He was
Look
there.
Look under a John Hancock. He actually wrote over my big signature.
Ugh.
But things have changed. The country has evolved. And I think it's time to look at a different system than what's currently in place. We are the only democratic nation in the world that still uses the Electoral College system of electing a president.
Well, and two of our elections in the 21st century, the person who got elected did not win the popular vote. That's George W. Bush in 2000 and Trump in 2016. They did not win the popular vote. And according to Pew Research, another poll, take it how you want. But from 2024, this poll came out. 63% of Americans said they would replace the Electoral College with a national popular vote. 35% opposed the change. We got the majority of people behind this. It doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
We heard nonstop after, that Hillary won the popular vote, but Donald Trump is still president. And it doesn't, I understand all the past rationales. If I lived in a less populated state, I would probably feel different.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how it goes.
Right.
I understand. You live in a less populated state. Your vote still counts.
Right.
It doesn't count proportionally more than my vote just because I live in a populated state. That's not fair either.
No.
If this many people voted for one person, and it's simple. It goes back to grade school. It goes back. You get enough votes, you win. That's how it's supposed to be. So the fact that we're giving preferential treatment now to people who live in less populated states, just to be fair. Well, what about all the people who voted for the person who got the most votes? What's fair about that? It's not fair. It sounds very childish, but that's, you know what I mean? The weight of a vote should be the same no matter where you vote.
It's never been a perfect system. It's always been a negotiated system. I mean, the Electoral College is a negotiated system. A popular vote system would be a negotiated system. It doesn't necessarily make it wrong. And if a candidate is winning the popular vote, that to me feels more like the will of the people than the Electoral College, which is being thrust upon us from some 1787 law. We have several texts rolling in this morning. Tom says, yes to the national vote issue. It makes sense as long as the states have two senators. He's all for the idea. Thank you so much for the text. Frank from Poinette says, listening on WMDX, get rid of Citizens United. Yes, on popular vote and ranked choice voting. And see, ranked choice voting, I think, is a bigger discussion. And I'm a ranked choice voting proponent. And that's for a discussion for another day. But Len also says, yes, seems the Electoral College system is another form of a weasel clause. If you want to chime in on the conversation this morning, 1-855-752-4842, 1-855-75-CIVIC. The question we're asking you this time around, after the last few presidential elections, is it time to adopt the popular vote as the final word? We'd love to hear from you this morning. I think this is actually a simple question. And I feel like the answer is simpler than a lot of people make it. Here's the thing that I think why there's consternation, especially from the Republicans. They don't win the popular vote very often. And if you go to a popular vote system, that means they are going to lose more elections. And
maybe it would make them rethink some of their policies. Perhaps that's the price you pay when you realize most of the people are not behind you. Now, there are some, or go ahead and finish your thought.
I was just going to say, I mean, if you move to the straight popular vote, it's going to definitely change the math for Republican candidates. And that's actually looking at numbers over time. That's not just opinion, by the way. In recent election, Democrats have consistently won the national popular vote, even in races that they lost, as you rightly pointed out, Brian, right? 2016, 2000 stand out for sure. So if you flip the system to purely that popular vote, you're talking about a system where turnout is big population centers like New York City, California, maybe even in Milwaukee. Major metro areas are going to carry more weight, and that's going to obviously favor the Democrats. I think a popular vote system, though, also engages more voters because of the
election. I was just going to say that.
Yeah. And I think the electoral vote system alienates people because you know that if you're in a very rural area and maybe you're a blip in your rural area, right, voting for mm-hmm. a candidate that not everybody in your area supports, it's probably not going to matter. And I think that dissuades a lot of people from actually getting to the polls and casting a vote.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's going to get everybody's vote then feels a lot weightier. It's like, yeah, this is actually going to work. And I go back to some of the time I texted in about two senators from each state. Again, I don't know if that's the best way for representation either. I would love to live in a state with very small population, but I also know, look at the size of Wisconsin and right. the population of Wisconsin. Now, granted, there's a lot of rural areas where there's a smaller population, but Wisconsin has a lot of people. Then you go to Wyoming. Wyoming doesn't have that many right. people. Do we need the same amount of representation from a piece of land, basically, that's not populated, as opposed to a bigger piece of land or a smaller piece of land that has a lot more people in it? I think two is the minimum.
Sure.
But then yes, it would grow the size of the Congress, and it would make bipartisanship probably, I don't even know if it would make it more difficult. Probably not. It'd just be more people screaming and yelling, a lot more strongly worded letters being fired off. But I don't know if everything can't always be equal and shouldn't always be equal when it comes to representation.
If you're using,
now, when it comes to rights and things like that,
if you're using ranked choice voting, it would be more equal. It would be more fair. Just want to point that out.
Okay, fair enough.
But at the same time, I agree with you, because I think in a state like Wisconsin, too, not all areas are created equal, right? You have some hubs that are very progressive, very blue mm-hmm. voting, very liberal. You have other hubs of this state that are very right-leaning voters. It's very conservative. So the politics doesn't play from one corner of the state to the other. And I think people are entitled to having fair representation based on their values and their views. And then, of course, I understand that there's also population that goes into it. I grew up in South Dakota, right?
There's nobody there.
There's no absolutely kidding. Nobody there. And you have one senator representing the entire state. And what's interesting about that is you have two polar opposite things happening in South Dakota. It's bookended by more liberal cities on both ends where all your population yep. is. Everything else in the middle is very small, rural, or farmland. So it's not a fair representation when you look at it like that.
Well, look, there's a lot of issues going on here, but I do like, they're all worth talking about, and they're all worth considering. I am a fan of the popular vote. I think yeah. that's just, then there's no debate. Well, there'll still be debate about all the votes not being counted and mail-in and all the usual garbage that goes along with somebody who loses, but it's much easier. And it also, you know what, it's also going to stop the predictions coming out 2 minutes after the polls close on the East Coast, people declaring winners when people are still voting in most of the country, because we can see, oh, this we're at right. this number. And, you know, maybe the whiteboard will have to change, because now instead of just we're not just doing states, we're doing actual numbers.
Right.
And it might take another day or two to get the results. And you know what? That's OK. The president doesn't get sworn in the day after the election. So we got time. If it takes a week, who cares?
That's another thing about the European system on my soapbox for a minute that I appreciate. Why do we have such
maybe you ought to just move to Europe.
Why
then,
do we
so
have
great.
Such a long transition of power? Literally, in other countries, they use the popular vote. They have a dedicated day for voting. And within a week, that person is then in office.
Yeah, but how are you going to give out all your pardons and do untold damage in your last 2 months of in office?
Yeah, I don't know. Apparently, I'm thinking too far ahead. I didn't think
Stop
far enough.
Thinking. Did you think far enough to file your taxes? Because it is tax day. And David Casey, the Secretary of the Department of Revenue here in Wisconsin, joins us after this. It's Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan.
I'm Jamie Martinson. It is 6:48 on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Now back to more of Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We always appreciate it. Hopefully you are having a great Wednesday on the Civic Media Network. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning, I'm Brian Noonan. Well, the saying goes that the only things certain in life are death and taxes. And if you're listening today, you escaped the first. But since today is April 15th, you cannot escape the second. Yes, today is tax day. To answer some questions about your taxes, we're joined by David Casey, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Revenue. Mr. Casey has nearly 30 years of professional experience working with state tax agencies to help improve taxpayer service and compliance. He was appointed by Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Revenue by Governor Evers in April 24. He had been the Deputy Secretary of the DOR from 2019 to 2022. David, thank you for being here this morning. We appreciate your time and your expertise. So the big question that I'm hearing from a lot of people, and I just read a piece about it in Forbes, they're saying hundreds of thousands of taxpayers are seeing delays tied to how the IRS is handling refunds this year. So what's causing these new delays?
Well, it seems, well, first of all, thank you for having me today, an exciting day for the Department of Revenue. we're on track this year. We've processed about 2.4 million tax returns so far this year, and we are expecting another 500,000 or so to come in today alone to hit our target of about 3.1 million or more. So we're on schedule. We haven't had any delays on our end. The IRS, I do work on an IRS committee and work with them. They did have cuts of about 25% of their staff. So we've heard some delays, but it's not impacting our state tax processing as of yet.
It's good news.
So what is the difference this year in what the IRS is doing versus previous years that are creating some of these delays for others, not in Wisconsin, as you so rightly point out?
Well, some of theirs is just around their staff. So with their staff cuts, they've had some issues with their customer service availability to help people. Their call wait times are about 2 hours. I'll tell you, the Wisconsin Department of Revenue average wait time is about 2 minutes right now. So when we're staffed properly and with the right technology, we can provide the results that taxpayers expect. Right now, the IRS is just struggling with some of the cuts they've had and some of the delays and the technology improvements.
Now, what is the biggest mistake, David, that you see Wisconsin taxpayers making when it comes to paying their state income tax?
Well, first of all, the biggest mistake, and it's not really a mistake, is filing by paper. Right now, we have 97% of our taxpayers are filing electronically. That means 3% will file by paper. About a day and a half to process our electronic tax forms. If it's by paper, it can take up to a week or two to process. Wow. So while a mistake, it just delays it, delays getting your refund.
We are talking with David Casey. He is the Secretary of Wisconsin's Department of Revenue. So when we're talking about some of these mistakes and some of these delays and some people who are counting on these refunds each and every year, what kind of impacts do we see when the IRS at the federal level is experiencing some of these setbacks?
Well, sometimes it can be a delay in some of the data getting to us, but right now we're not seeing that. One of the things to avoid making mistakes, I would suggest, is that you have all your documentation put together and use the electronic filing methods that are available. So for documentation, you should have all your Social Security numbers and information. You should have your income documents, your W-2s, your 1099s, your deduction records, so any credits that you're taking. And make sure that you have your bank information, so your routing number in your account. If you have all of that, everything should go through smoothly. It's when some of that's not provided in a timely manner that causes delays, both on the federal side and on the state side.
David, I know on the federal level, I can go to irs.gov and I can track my refund. Is there a resource like that for my Wisconsin refund?
Absolutely. If you go to revenue.wi.gov, right on our front page is a refund lookup and refund check. So you can just hit the link there. And I believe you'll type in what the refund amount you're expecting and some other identifying information, and you can check on the status. Typically, though, like I said, if you're filing electronically, our refunds are getting out in about a day and a half.
Wow.
I'll also note that right now our refunds are averaging just over $1,000. So people are starting to see the effect of the tax cut that Governor Evers signed into law last year.
David, I know that there's a lot of young filers, maybe filing for the first time. What advice would you have for them this year if they haven't already filed, because time seems to be a ticking today?
You know, it's funny you mentioned that. We put a big emphasis in reaching out to young filers. We went on to UW campuses and interviewed and really did a big social media push to get new filers to file electronically. One of the areas that we offer this year, we've actually offered it for 5 years, is our WizTax. So you can file online at the Department of Revenue's website for free. It's secure. It's fast. Last year, we teamed that with the direct file with the IRS, but because of some of the cuts they made this year, the IRS dropped that ability for taxpayers to file online, but we kept ours. So a new taxpayer, they can do it on their phone. They can go onto their phone and use WizTax to file their tax return.
Perfect. And before we let you go, David Casey's our guest. He's the secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Revenue. There are people who today are like, I owe both the state, I owe the feds, I don't have the money. What do I do? Maybe I'll just skip filing and file later when I have some money. Not a good move, correct?
That is not a good move. File. file your return. Tell us what you owe. We can arrange payment agreements. Both the state of Wisconsin can and the IRS can. So it's important that you file. If you don't file, there are associated penalties with filing late, and then you accrue penalties and interest. So do the right step, file as soon as you can, get that done today, and then we can work out payment arrangements if you need after that.
I was going to say the state's okay if you file, because you'll come and find your money. It's just once we don't file, that's when we get in trouble, right?
Exactly. And it's a lot more painful if you don't file than if you file and we just arrange for a payment agreement. We're pretty good with that.
Well, happy tax day, David. I know this is a big day for you at the Department of Revenue. David Casey is secretary for the Wisconsin Department of Revenue. Thanks for your time and your expertise today, David. We appreciate it.
Thank you. My pleasure.
All right, it is tax day. Get your filing in. You have till midnight. So get it done, even if you owe money and you don't have it. You'll be fine.
For the next two segments of the Civic Media Spotlight, we stay right here with Daybreak with Brian and Jamie. There is a lawsuit facing Wisconsin GOP members saying that lawmakers should not be able to, as they have done in the past, use public money to pay for private attorneys. The GOP members faced with this suit are using public funds to pay private attorneys to argue the case.
Wisconsin wakes up here. Back to Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning, and thank you so much for joining us today on the Civic Media Network. Some sunshine for a change in downtown Madison. Hopefully you're seeing some sunshine where you're at, too, as we try to dry things out from all of this week's past weather. We'll get into more of that throughout the morning, give you a little update on what we can expect. And then, of course, we'll talk to our own Stu Waddles, who is the reporter from WAUK, to tell us the latest in the Milwaukee area. That's coming up at 8:30 this morning. But in the meantime, Brian, we've got some headlines that we have to cover this morning.
Yep, we have some things happening overseas as usual right now. Pete Hegseth and General Dean Kane or Dan Kane, Superman is giving. Yes, no. Pete Hegseth and General Dan Kane are giving a briefing, the first one since we've instituted our blockade on Iran's ports, so we'll keep an eye on that. But in other war news, Pakistan's army chief met Wednesday in Tehran with Iran's foreign minister in the latest diplomatic move to ease tensions in the Middle East and arrange a second round of negotiations between the United States and Iran after almost 7 weeks of war.
I will mention this morning, too, before I get into this next headline, there is, as you mentioned, that press briefing. Pete Hegseth this morning warning Iran, we're watching you. It's almost like there's the Rockwell song from the 1980s. Somebody's watching you. At any rate, U.S. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent warned yesterday that the U.S. is preparing to ramp up economic pain on Iran by levying secondary sanctions on financial institutions that do business with the Middle Eastern nation. Bessent called the measure the financial equivalent of a bombing campaign. Doesn't feel like the rhetoric is tampering down in any sort of way.
No, it doesn't sound cease-fiery at all. It sounds like continual fiery. The Israeli military killed four Lebanese rescue workers and wounded six others in three consecutive targeted strikes yesterday. Paramedic groups said a stark illustration of the human cost of the Israeli military campaign against Hezbollah in southern Lebanon, a day after the two countries held historic talks in Washington. So I'm confused. Maybe I'm not a diplomat, so I'll probably be sent over to negotiate because that seems to be the criteria for our diplomats. But it doesn't seem like when you're having talks, you should be bombing still.
Right.
It's less of an incentive in my world to negotiate in good faith.
And come to the table.
Yeah, to make any concessions, to reach a compromise. Hey, maybe stop bombing me for a second so I can think.
And I think this is the point of the morning where we rightfully point out that this war started during the first round of talks. While those talks were ongoing and they were trying to come to some sort of negotiation, the president of the United States decided to attack Iran. So
we still have to figure out what Netanyahu said to Trump to get him to acquiesce to this, to get him to decide, because all reports say that Netanyahu had gone to our last three presidents other than Trump in the first term and tried to get the same thing to happen. And all those presidents said no. Yeah. So that would be Republican presidents and Democratic presidents all said no. So what did he say? What did he have? So, we don't know why Trump gave in. But that's the key to all of this.
No, it is the key to all of this. And we're never probably going to get those answers. And again, I understand the state of what Iran's government is like, what their regime is, and how they've acted and treated their own citizens for years, and the threat that they have imposed in certain parts of our history. There was no imminent threat, though, in this particular case. And at the same time, the United States did not act in good faith by being at the negotiating table and then going into the United States and bombing this country. And I'm never going to hold favor towards Iran based on how they've operated over the years. But we did not also operate in good faith in that moment, no matter what Netanyahu said to the president of the United States.
I'm going to jump in because I'm watching what Whiskey Pete is saying. He has gone back to lambasting the press, and it is the press's fault because the press seems like they don't know whose side they on, and they are being unpatriotic. And then he brought in Jesus again, and saying that only, the press only celebrates the downfall and the problems with Trump, whereas Jesus went into the synagogue and took the gnarled hand of the beggar. And I don't understand why we have to tie in religion to the war. We are not, we're not supposed to be a theocracy.
Right.
We are not supposed to have it, but this is part of the white nationalist, white Christian nationalist movement. And we have somebody, and we're going to get, just hang on. We'll talk more about Whiskey Pete once we get into S You Need to Know.
It's a wake-up call in more ways than one. Yeah, time for some you need to know.
Yeah, let's, that's all right. Yeah, no, let's jump into it.
Yes, let's go, because we're already talking about Pete Hegseth.
Yeah. So House Democrats have filed articles of impeachment against our Secretary of Defense and pocket square wearing flag man and Jesus lover Pete Hegseth. And I don't say that as a slam on people who love Jesus, but when you invoke Jesus's name in a way to justify war and killing and bombing a civilization out of existence, that I have a problem with.
I mean, this,
but that's me.
This isn't a religious war.
It's not supposed to be. So here's the story. Axios was the first to report this, but House Democrats unveiled articles of impeachment against Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth yesterday, making serious allegations about his handling not only of the war in Iran, but his leadership more broadly. The resolution was led by Representative Yasmin Ansari of Arizona. It lists six impeachment articles, among them unauthorized war against Iran and reckless endangerment of U.S. servicemen, members, violations of the law of armed conflict and targeting of civilians, negligence and reckless handling of sensitive military information, obstruction of congressional oversight, abuse of power, and politicalization of the armed forces, conduct bringing disrepute upon the U.S. and its armed forces. Now, everybody knows, okay, it's probably not going to go too far this year, with since the Republicans still have a majority. But the Democratic sponsors could, if things change after the midterms and the swearing in of a new Congress, pick these up. Again, it was a 7-page impeachment resolution. It claims Hegseth engaged in high crimes and misdemeanors, the constitutional basis for impeachment. It says he has, quote, demonstrated a willful disregard for the Constitution, abused the powers of his office, and acted in a manner grossly incompatible with the rule of law. That's serious business right there. The resolution also accuses Hegseth of failing to prevent the use of military force, quote, in a manner inconsistent with the law of armed conflict, pointing to civilian casualties, including the February 28th bombing of a girls' school in Iran that killed 168 people.
This isn't just about removing him from office. The Democrats are asking for accountability. And that's literally what they're asking for. And it's about putting serious allegations on the record and forcing everybody to acknowledge what this country actually needs and what our priorities are and what the priorities of the Department of Defense have been. And I mean, you're right. It's rightfully not going to go anywhere right now. We know this. But
it's on the table.
Yes.
And November is not that. It seems like November is really far away. November's not that far away. And if the trends continue, and this is just prognostication, if the trends continue, it looks like the Democrats will take over the majority.
Yes.
And then all bets are off for these guys. And I don't hear. And I want to go back for a minute, if I can.
Sure.
Well, I can. It's our show.
It's your show. You do whatever you want.
We can do whatever we want. No, when I brought up the Jesus-loving thing as a criticism of Pete Hegseth, I want to clarify. I am infuriated by people, hypocrites, who wrap themselves in Jesus as a cover for their ill deeds. Pete Hegseth has committed personal things that are well documented, horrible things. He, by all reports, not a great guy. We also know he has used his office to talk about no quarter, which is a war crime. He doesn't give off a godly or religious vibe. Everything he says is antithetical to the teachings of Christianity.
Yeah.
And so when somebody like that wraps, it's like someone who wraps themselves in the flag. Someone who wraps themselves in religion is despicable, and they're a con man, and they're playing on people's faith, and they're preying on the most vulnerable among us, both financially, mentally, spiritually. They prey upon them and use God as a bludgeon to try to get their point across. And that is why I use that as a criticism of Pete Hegseth. It has nothing to do with people who are spiritual, people who are religious, people who follow either Christianity or Catholicism or Judaism or Muslim. I don't care. That's your personal belief. But don't you dare try to hide behind a religion to get your point across and justify your horrific acts. He's now saying that he prays that Iran makes the best decision. This is not a place for religion.
No.
This is a place for facts and strategy and diplomacy.
And when you look at what is being alleged in this impeachment document, right? I'm going to repeat it again. Unauthorized military action, civilian casualties, mishandling of sensitive information, obstructing oversight. Those aren't small claims, right? These go right to the core of how military power is used, or in this case, abused. And that is what the Democrats are trying to point out. And those are the things that this administration is going to eventually have to succumb to. They're going to have to be accountable, and they're going to have to show that they stood up and they agreed with these things that they are now implementing that have affected all of us and other countries in some sort of way. That's what's going to have to happen, and that's what's being laid out in this documentation.
Yeah, it's rough. And the politicalization of the military, we see it when he tried to silence Mark Kelly and everybody else who spoke out and just basically read the military code of ethics and said, you don't have to follow an unlawful order. And he accuses them of being unpatriotic and not supporting the president. And all of this, it all it all makes sense. What's surprising is it took this long, but it's now out there. We'll keep you posted as things go on from there.
Yeah.
Dick is on the line, but we're going to finish headlines, but he's saying that Hegseth is guilty of war crimes and so is Netanyahu. I can't disagree with you, Dick,
yeah.
And we appreciate the call. Sorry we can't get to it right now, but we do appreciate it. We have some other stuff we need to know, Jamie.
We do. In case you're one of those people who's been paying attention to ticket prices, because sometimes you like to not talk about politics and go do something fun, well, realize that this is happening because a jury found Live Nation and Ticketmaster operated as a monopoly in its dominance of the live events and ticketing industry, validating complaints that the industry giant was basically stifling competition and driving up fees for fans. That's because they have been. The verdict was reached following a lengthy trial in New York federal court that included testimony from top executives in the music and entertainment industries. Jurors started deliberating on Friday. Now, you're not going to see ticket prices or fees tacked on to their bill, your bills drop anytime soon, because there's going to be a second trial.
To
decide what remedies are going to be warranted in this particular case. So in the meantime, go buy your tickets to all the summer concerts, and you're still going to have to pay all of the fees tacked on, unfortunately.
All right, we're going to let a little steam off with Swiper to Stay. That's coming up next. I'm Brian Noonan. This is Daybreak.
It's 7:19. I'm Jamie Martinson. It's the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Let's break out of the bubble and see what's happening out there in pop culture. It's Swiper Stay on Daybreak.
7:22 right now. Thank you for joining us this morning. It is time for Swiper Stay. This is where we leave the politics behind for a mere 7 minutes, and we dive into pop culture with our senior producer, Frank. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Much better today. But
good.
For Thank the mo- there's an asterisk there, Jamie.
Uh-oh.
There may be one politics story, but don't worry. It also involves celebrities.
All right.
So.
We like that. Easy peasy.
It'll be fine. Anyway, this is Swiper Stay. I'm going to read some vague pop culture headlines to Brian and Jamie. They're going to have to decide whether to stay and hear more or swipe on to the next one. Producer Parker gets to be the tiebreaker if it comes down to that. Here we go to story number one. Ice cream founders are fighting back.
Ooh.
Oh, I would like to hear that. I'm going to stay.
Ben Cohen, co-founder of Ben & Jerry's Ice Cream, is officially fighting back.
The Free yes. Ben & Jerry's campaign is transforming Free Cone Day into Free the Cone Day. Ben & Jerry's has now become owned by the Magnum Corporation, who is in the process of destroying the heart and the soul of Ben & Jerry's. They're trying to neuter the social mission.
Whoa.
Neuter the social
wow.
mission, trying to destroy the heart and soul. I felt it was better coming from his own words instead
yes.
of me reading
yeah.
it off the statement. That's pretty powerful for somebody, because usually when you sell your company, and Ben & Jerry's is huge, right? We
sure,
all love
yeah.
it, right?
Come yeah.
on. It's awesome. Usually when you sell that, you go out, you retire, you lay low, you sit on the beach, and whatever happens, happens, right?
Sure.
Not these
Not
guys.
Ben Cohen.
Nope.
So he's calling on the public to raise their voice in support of their mission in hopes that someone who cares about social issues like the co-founders do will buy the company. Cohen and Greenfield sold the company to Unilever in 2000, with Greenfield leaving the company in 2025 after accusing Magnum of preventing them from posting on social media in support of Palestinian refugees, the First Amendment rights of student protesters, and a ceasefire in Gaza.
I just hope
yeah,
this
that
goes-
was, I mean, that was a cornerstone of Ben
yeah.
& Jerry's, was social activism and,
yeah.
and all of that. And it's good if it's maybe I'll go buy a pint today and just use that as an excuse. Why are you eating a pint of Ben & Jerry's? I'm standing up for liberty.
Freeing the cone.
Free the cone. It's a free cone day.
I just hope it goes better than Free Britney. That's all I'm saying.
I think everything goes better than
okay.
Free Britney.
Just,
do we have any favorite Ben & Jerry's flavors here?
Fish food.
Oh, my gosh.
Fish food.
Fish food's a popular one.
Mm-hmm.
Brian?
I'm trying to think. There's not many I don't like. I like the cookie dough one. I like the half and half one they brought out there where you half cookie dough, half fudge brownie. Mm-hmm. I like that one. Cherry Garcia, I liked a lot.
I'm always a sucker for anything.
I said choose one.
Listen, ice cream, you cannot. I worked at a Ben & Jerry's for a very short time when we first moved to California. And it was a great job except for my waistline. Because there's always, I had to make the cookie sandwiches. We'll talk about it another time.
I'm always a sucker for anything with swirly, gooey caramel in it. So that's
feel free to comment or text out there what your favorite Ben & Jerry's flavor is. We'd love to hear it. All right, moving on to story number two.
All right.
I know we briefly touched on this story yesterday, but we do have an update. I promise. Guy Fieri has been called out yet again.
Oh. All right. Well, yeah, I'm all for this blasting Guy Fieri.
So we talked about this yesterday. If you don't know, he was seen dapping up the Tate brothers at a UFC event, and the internet got pissed off. The Tate brothers are under criminal investigation in multiple countries, including the UK, where they face charges of rape and human trafficking as part of a total of 21 alleged offenses. So everybody's up in arms at Guy Fieri.
Well, yeah, they're disgusting humans.
They're awful people, right? Allegedly. Here's the thing. Guy Fieri walked all of it back saying, I feel awful. I had no idea who these people were. Well, the Tate Brothers lawyer has come out and reached out to TMZ to say that Guy Fieri knew exactly who the brothers are.
Yes, of course he did.
Was all too happy to catch up with them. Until, and I'm quote, this is a quote, until the woke mob came after him.
Oh, you mean... Oh, never mind.
People who don't like alleged rapists and child human traffickers.
Let's just remember that
like
Epstein was alleged too, folks. So there's that. Sure.
And our president has convictions for sexual assault. So
also alleged.
Not the conviction one.
There's been some convictions. Yes,
there's some convictions. All right, well, Guy Fieri, forget it. Go back to Flavortown. Story three.
Former reality star gets big endorsement in Los Angeles mayoral race.
Oh, I know this story. I can't even believe this is a thing. Stay, just because it's so stupid and it shouldn't be a thing.
Now that Jamie is so worked up about it, I feel like I should stay.
I have too many bees in my bonnet this morning.
I know. I'm going to swipe. Parker?
I want something a little less bee in the bonnet. I'm going to go swipe.
That's fair. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Yeah. Thank you for saving me for myself. Yeah.
Rock star actress hospitalized while on tour with AC/DC.
They still tour? Isn't there only one of them left?
All night long, I'll stay.
Taylor Momsen, former actress and lead singer of the band The Pretty Reckless, has been hospitalized for a spider bite in Mexico.
Wow.
The Pretty Reckless
is
vocalist.
Is that code for something, Craig?
Nope, that is venomous spider. She took to Instagram and shared a photo of her leg where the bite occurred, and it's pretty gnarly. Go look it up. She said, hospital today, show tomorrow. Poisonous spiders are no bueno.
Holy buckets.
But the show must go on. See you tomorrow, Mexico City.
What was she an actress in?
Did you ever see the movie How the Grinch Stole Christmas?
Yeah.
With Jim Carrey?
Yeah.
She's Cindy Lou Who.
Really?
Huh. She is now on tour with AC/DC.
Wow.
Right on.
Okay.
She was also in Gossip Girl, one of Brian's favorite shows, and Parker's. Okay. That's it for Swipe or Stay today.
Thank you, Frank. Always
You're
a pleasure. Boy, the more you know, I guess. It's fascinating. Well, we've got all kinds of things. We're going to talk to Mace Michaels next about the weather here on Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.